The title of our message is Imperfect. It's the second week of the series. The heart of the series is that our flaws and our weaknesses give opportunity for God's perfect love, his power, and his purpose to be at work in and through our lives. If you were able to be here with us last week, or perhaps you listened to the message online, you understand this and you know this before I even say it. No one in here is perfect. We are all sinners, right? We were all born in sin. We've all fallen short. We've all battled our temptations. We all know what to do, but at times we still do otherwise, right? Can I get a testimony of who did that this week? No, okay, you don't have to do that because we'd all have to raise our hands. We have certain weaknesses that if we don't keep them in check by the power of the Holy Spirit, those weaknesses will get the best of us. Because like it or not, our humanity shows. Yes, we are God's masterpiece. We are highly blessed. We are highly favored. No matter what our journey looks like, every single one of us can proclaim today that we live a blessed life because of Jesus Christ. But in all of that, our humanity shows. And that humanity shows us how vulnerable we are to the imperfections that are in our lives. Last week, we just started out the gate, and I took you to Hebrews. And we were in Hebrews chapter 7, looked at some passages, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10. And all of those chapters, they're talking about the perfect ministry of Jesus Christ. Talking about him as being the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the perfect temple, the perfect high priest. Talking about that work that he's doing inside of us. Because all of us know, if we look to ourselves, we will falter each and every time. But if we look to Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that's been placed within us and that perfect ministry of Jesus, we will find something very special, and he will lead us, and we shall prevail in every single way when we do that. While we were in those chapters, we got to chapter 10 and verses 19 and 25 through 25. They give us a perfect outline of what we should do as believers, knowing that there's the perfect ministry of Jesus Christ and that we have accepted him and that the Holy Spirit lives within us. It gives us the perfect outline of how we should come to God, and that's with confidence. So the three things I gave you last week was, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, complete faith, and without guilt. We can do that with confidence because of the Holy Spirit. The second one was, let us hold on to that unwavering hope because we know that God is faithful to all of his promises. We are confident in that. And the last one it told us in chapter 10, it said, let us motivate and encourage one another to love, to do good works, to faithfully meet together just as we're doing here because Christ's return, it is near. Have confidence in who we are in him because of the perfect work that Jesus is doing inside of all of our lives. So the goal of this series is for us to take our focus off of our imperfections and off of each other's imperfections. Because if I'm looking to you to get me going, you can inspire me and we can sharpen one another as the scripture says. But if I keep my eyes on humanity, I will falter and I will drift away from God's purpose and plan that he has for my life. I have to keep the inner focus of my heart on Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. So not on our imperfections and our humanity and our being vulnerable, but to put it on the work of the Holy Spirit inside of our lives. We want his perfect love, his power and his plan to unfold in each and every one of us. Today, I'm going to approach it a little bit different, not in the sense that I'm giving a lot of scripture. I'm going to give you quite a bit, but I'm going to read the entire chapter of Hebrews 11. But I want you to see something this morning. Now, I'm going to venture to say that probably every single person in here at some point in your life, you have read Hebrews chapter 11. I will even venture out to say that there are many of you that have read it multiple times, and many of you have heard many messages preached on these powerful testimonies that we're about to see. But this morning, as the Holy Spirit leads us there, keep your heart open, keep your mind open, and watch the angle that he's going to take us to as we look at this together. I have to tell you, I got to read it together with you. So if you've never read it, let's do it together for the first time, all right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. This is a chapter in response to that perfect ministry of Jesus and what it does in our lives when we put our faith in him. It's going to define faith here in the first couple of verses, and then it's going to get into some very powerful and unique stories. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old, they received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, because that's his story, his testimony, his faith, it still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And we know this, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. That's a word for all of us. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning the events as yet unseen, in a holy fear, in a reverent fear, he constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, he obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and whose builder is God. Talks about his wife, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of the heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of the sand by the seashore. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. When you look at these powerful stories, they lived with an eternal view in mind. They didn't live for the things of this world. They lived for the things of God, for his purpose and his plan to unfold in and through them. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said that through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. It's a powerful story when you go and read what happened between those two. Then you get to verse 20. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and on Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, then Joseph, at the end of his life, he made mention of the exodus of the Israelites, and he gave directions concerning his bones. Verse 23 just keeps going, these powerful stories. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Boy, that's a message that'll preach by itself, won't it? Verse 26. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured his seeing him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover, and he sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Powerful story when you read of his life. Verse 29, by faith, the people, they crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho, they fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, she did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies, those who had gone out to spy out the promised land. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, not Barak, but Barak, Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and they put the foreign armies to flight. The women, they received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refused to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others, they suffered mocking, floggings, even chained and imprisoned. They were stoned. Some were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats. They were destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in the dens and the caves of the earth. All of these, though commended through their faith, they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Some pretty incredible, let's just say it, amazing stories of faith. I love that last scripture because as amazing as they were, they didn't receive quite yet the promise because Jesus had to come on the scene, because no one's going to be made perfect without Jesus Christ. So together with them, when Jesus came on the scene, he gave us a better way, a perfect way. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit. No longer do we have this Old Testament covenant that we follow, but we have the new covenant of Jesus Christ, a personal relationship that we can approach him at any time with confidence. And if we keep our eyes in the right place, someday we will all finish our race just as these that have gone before us. And because of the faith in the perfect ministry of Jesus Christ, we will all be together there in heaven. Amen. Together, we all need Jesus. Now, in approaching this chapter for this particular series, I jotted down a few questions. Most of the time when I preach, you just get to look in on that personal study as God's speaking to me, and then I just get the opportunity to speak it to you. So I wrote these questions down. How could you and I ever measure up to what we have come to know as the heroes of the faith? You read a chapter like this, and you just got to step back for a minute, and you got to say, wow. Tremendous in the way that they approached these circumstances. Tremendous in the way that they approached life. Tremendous when they stepped foot into the Red Sea and it became dry ground and they walked across and they were delivered into the promised land. Tremendous when they were given instructions to circle the walls of Jericho and then shout and blast their horn and see those walls come tumbling down. I look at that and I say, how in the world can my old life ever measure up to these that I read in Hebrews chapter 11? Is it even possible for you and I to live with such powerful and effective and just meaningful faith in our lives? Is it even conceivable that by our faith we could see the mighty and merciful hand of God move in a powerful and a miraculous way amongst us today? Is it possible that our lives of faith, just like these that we've read about, could inspire and impact others as did these heroes? I began to ask myself these questions. Perhaps you have done the same. If not, I've taken you there with me. Then I ask another one. And I say, don't our imperfections today, because we have a lot of them, don't our imperfections today limit our ability to have such faith as these heroes? I mean, you look at these stories and you say, absolutely amazing. Maybe at first glance, we step back and we say, you know what, that was a different time. That was a different period. Things are just a lot different now and challenging now. So perhaps it'll never look like that. Well, I simply say perhaps or perhaps not. Because when I read Hebrews chapter 11 this time around, I have to say this. Aren't the heroes of Scripture much more like us than what we sometimes realize? All those names that I just read, sometimes we get lost in their story. We get lost in Hebrews chapter 11, and we just stand in awe, and we're like, wow, Abraham, Noah, Sarah, I mean, Rahab, all these things that they did. King David, a man after God's own heart. We think about all their stories from the beginning to the end of the Bible, and we think about all these tremendous victories and the way that they just had to stand up in the middle of adversity. We think we have adversity until we stand in the middle of a lion's den, or till we stand in a Colosseum, or till we stand in a place where our lives are literally on the line. These individuals stood in those circles and they proclaimed God, and they saw something that, even though it wasn't of this world, they saw something greater than them, and that was what God had for them in their lives. I look at that and I say, wow, that's just pretty crazy. I don't know if I'll ever measure up. But then the Holy Spirit quickly reminds me, those individuals we just read about are way more closer to you and I than what we realize. Let me take you on a journey here just for a minute. It'll all be there on the PowerPoint. Now, Noah, when you read of his story, he got drunk, causing his family discord. Abraham took matter into his own hands. He lied about his relationship with Sarah. He allowed her to be taken as a concubine by the Egyptian rulers. Sarah, at the beginning of her story, in her unbelief, the scripture says that she laughed within at God's promise of giving her birth to a child in her old age. She even denied in doing so when the Lord asked about it, and the scripture records that she first acted in fear instead of acting in faith. When you look at Isaac, you will see that he showed much favoritism for one son over another, which caused great conflict. You can read of that story. And then we see Jacob. He was the one who deceived his father. He stole his brother's birthright, and then he too showed favoritism as he raised his sons. One of them being Joseph. We read about him earlier in the year. He took advantage of his father's favoritism, and when he shared his dreams, he did it a little bit immaturely, as he put it, over his brothers and over his family. And then you get to Moses. Moses, by seeing things through his imperfections, he gave excuse upon excuse of why he cannot lead the people out of Egypt. He was hasty at times. He was supposed to speak to the rock and not strike the rock. So he struck the rock and he was disobedient. And because he did that, he wasn't even able to enter into the promised land himself. Those are real stories when you go back and you look at the complete story. Rahab, it just tells it like it is. She was a prostitute. The spies who spied out the promised land, Caleb, the spies that went with them, they stayed at a prostitute's home. It was there she welcomed them. She was labeled a prostitute. She was known a prostitute. She made her living by selling her body. That's who she was. But yet she is among the people in Hebrews chapter 11. Think about it. Barak, when you read of his story in Judges 4, yes, a mighty man of valor at times, but when it came time to lead the Israel army, you would see he didn't want to do it without the prophetess Deborah. He was supposed to go, but it said he would not go. He acted cowardly, and the scripture tells us because he acted in such a way, God got him for that. Gideon. We know Gideon's story, right? He battled such low self-esteem. God spoke to him and said, you're going to rise up and you're going to lead this army. Oh, our clan is the least of all the clans, and I'm the least of my clan. And so he just battled all of this low self-esteem. Jephthah, again, it is said in Scripture he's a mighty man of valor, but when you go and you look at his story in Judges, the very next sentence says he was a son of a harlot. And because of his decision, even though he made some great decisions, he made a rash oath that whoever he saw come out of the door, that he would sacrifice their life. And when he looked up, his daughter walked out of the door and he had to sacrifice her life. A decision that wasn't even necessary because God had already given him victory. Samson, we know he was sexually promiscuous. He had that sexual affair with Delilah. We know what that cost him. And then there was David, one of my favorite authors of Scripture in all of his Psalms. The Psalms, he just is so transparent in the way that he presents himself. You see his highs, you see his lows. When you read his Psalms, you know when he's in the valley, you know when he's on the mountaintop, you know how he's feel. He's so honest and transparent as the Holy Spirit anoints him to write those. He was an incredible leader, a man after God's own heart. I mean, he killed Goliath. We teach that to our children at a young age. I mean, this is an incredible man of God, but yet he is also, 2 Samuel chapter 11 tells us, an adulterer and a murderer. I know you're not shouting quite yet. Think with me. Outside of Abel and Enoch, Scripture clearly records the imperfections of the heroes of faith. Now, I have no doubt that Abel and Enoch wasn't perfect, but they were pretty good because God took them at an early time. Not only were these individuals, their character flawed, but the Scripture told us their lives was filled with adversity. So when you think about adversity in your life, you think about these individuals, trials, hardships, sadness, and despair. But here's what I've got to tell you this morning. Even in all their imperfections, all their mistakes, all their failures, all their shortcomings, by trusting and placing their faith in God's perfect faithfulness to his promises, each and every one of them, they prevailed and they finished their race. And now they have been given to us as a testimony to do the same. Church family, can I tell you today, Hebrews chapter 11 is not just a chapter of heroes, but even more so, a chapter revealing to you people just like you and I, imperfect people who displayed their faith in a perfect God. And God did some pretty mighty miraculous things. So I'd say, instead of accomplishing on the men, or instead of focusing on the accomplishments of those men and of those women, we should see how God works in and through the lives of imperfect people, because what he did in them, he can do in us. As we get ready to pray, I'm going to take you over into chapter 12, just in the first two verses. Many of you know chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 by heart. When you put it in the content of where it fits with the Scripture, it makes so much sense, because we've come out of 7, 8, 9, 10, talking about that perfect ministry of Jesus. We see chapter 11, what happens when we put our faith, not in ourselves, but in him and what God can do. And then notice how it writes in chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so a great cloud of witnesses, let us also." In other words, let's do the same as every one of these individuals did in Hebrews chapter 11. Let us also lay aside all the weight, all the mistakes, the failures, the shortcomings, the sin which clings so closely, and let you and I run our race with endurance, the one that is set before us. As we look to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us do the same as what these individuals did in Hebrews chapter 11. You get the word this morning. No one in Scripture is perfect outside of Jesus. And when imperfect people decide to cast aside all of those imperfections and look to Jesus, that's when God moves in a pretty amazing way. That grace we sing about, that love, the way he calls us, the way he comes after us, so good. Today, I have no doubt in my mind that whatever the needs are in this congregation, God can minister if we will just put our faith in what he wants to do, in what he wants to accomplish. Because as long as I'm holding closely to my mistakes, it's going to be a lot of weight to carry around. I was pretty transparent with you last week. I was like, God, I need to learn more of their stories so I can tell their stories and not always tell mine. That's why he gives us Hebrews 11 in the Scripture. I can tell their stories. If I carry my imperfections, I mean, I have no doubt this week that some of us didn't say the right thing at every moment, right? I have no doubt that some of us knew to do something, but we didn't do it because either we got too busy or we got sidetracked, but yet the Holy Spirit was prompting us, but yet we didn't do it. I mean, we can sit here all day. We can sit here all day and we can say, okay, who wants to go first? Give me your top five imperfections. You know? I'd be like, no. No, I'd be like, Pastor Matt, I just said five. You're on 25, okay? You got to give someone else a chance. I got more than that, and I got to share mine. We'd be here all day. Those imperfections will keep us from, I believe, seeking God with a heart that's wide open to what he wants to do. They'll keep our faith at a weak level. God never fails. We do, but he doesn't, right? So no matter what I carry with me, I just need to lay it aside and say, God, I'm coming to you and I'm looking to you because through Christ, my prayer will be on point. My words will be on point. My faith will be on point. The way that I carry myself during the day will be on point. The way that I love my wife and my family will be on point. Oh, I won't be perfect, but I'll be on point with you, and I'll go so much further with you. Matter of fact, I'll finish the race with you. Amen. God wants someone to do a work. Let's look to him this morning. Today, people need to be healed in this service. You need to be physically healed, and I'm speaking to you right now. Let's look to the author and perfecter of our faith, and let's allow his healing power to work inside of us, and let's be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. There are people whose mental capacity needs to be healed. Your heart needs to be healed. Your emotions need to be healed. Let's let God do that this morning, right? There's those of you that need to give forgiveness and you need to accept forgiveness. Let's allow the perfect ministry of Jesus to do that in our lives here this morning. Don't let this Sunday morning go by and say, oh, good worship, good message, and nothing happens with it. Allow the perfect ministry of Jesus Christ to put it all together and to finish the work that he wants to do in your life today. God wants you to respond to him today and what he wants you to do.